Amen. We want to thank Smokey Robinson and Mayor Chorus for blessing us and reminding us that this is our season. Let's give God some praise for blessing us during this season of anniversary celebration. Thank you, men. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Chris, for blessing us through the ministry of music and song. If you have your Bibles, we encourage you to turn with us to a different book of the Bible, the Old Testament book of Isaiah, the 40th chapter. And we're going to be reading a very familiar passage. It's verses 28 through 31. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 through 31. I'm going to be reading from the King James Version. Follow along in whatever version you have. Hear these words from the Word of God. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the applying of this his holy and most righteous word. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father and our God, if you will, we ask that you might let the very words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts to be acceptable in thy sight, for you are our strength and you are our Redeemer. Let all the people of the Lord say amen. You may be seated in the presence of our God. I didn't see her until just a couple of seconds ago. Kimmy Hilson, would you please stand up quickly? We want you to know that Kimmy Hilson Carmichael is a fitness phenom. Yesterday, she was raising money for the St. Jude's Children's Hospital, and she raised $305 for that hospital by doing this. They had a challenge at Lifetime Fitness here in Columbia, and she met that challenge. She participated in four back-to-back 45-minute cycling classes. Back-to-back, four of them. And she, after that, she felt like running a marathon and doing a triathlon. That's a fit sister right there. Let's give God some praise for Kimmy Hilson Carmichael. Verse 31 says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. For a few moments today, we just want to hang these words on the hinges of your mind. What you get when you wait on God. What you get when you wait on God. You would think that by now somebody would have come up with an antidote to waiting. You would have thought that by now, with all of the technology and with all of the ingenuity and with all of the creativity in our day, that somebody would have come up with an antidote to waiting. You would have thought by now, church, that somebody would have figured out a program to give us something we could do or something we could take to get rid of the need for waiting. Like perhaps a pill that could speed up the process or a tablet that would accelerate time or a drug that would keep things from dragging out. Or medicine that would make everything immediate, or an enzyme that would make things instant. Church, you would think that by now somebody would have come up with something that would have been an antidote for worry. Well, to be fair, we must admit, even in our own lifetime, that we've seen great progress toward reducing waiting. Because we've gone from smashed potatoes to instant potatoes. We've gone from the Polaroid to FaceTime. We've gone from footing it to flying. We've gone from the back roads to the interstate. We've gone from Pony Express to Federal Express. Church, in our own time and in our own lifetime, we've seen that waiting has been reduced, but yet and still, no one has come up with an antidote for waiting. And so today, I can't report to your church that I can give you an antidote to keep you from waiting. But on this, our 48th church anniversary, I do have some advice that will help you in the area of waiting. And the first thing I want to suggest to you is don't get to the place where you worry about waiting. Don't get to the place where you worry about waiting, because when you worry about waiting, you need to know that God is busy working things out. Because there are times when you're waiting on stuff and you don't know what's happening. You don't know what's going on. You don't know if anything is happening. But I stopped by to tell somebody that in the background, God is working things out. Has God ever worked anything out for anybody in the background? Has God ever done anything for anybody today in the background? Well, in 1971, God was working in the background when a number of black families participated in an effort to organize and found St. John Baptist Church. God was working in the background. In 1971, when Reverend Walter Long preached at the first worship service for the emerging St. John Baptist Church, God was working in the background. In 1997, when we ended our lease at the Wild Lake Interfaith Center and we moved our headquarters to 8910 Old Annapolis Road, God was working in the background. When we went from one service to three worship services with three distinct worship styles, God was working in the background. When in 2009, God organized a dream team made up of Joyce Henderson, LaVon Burton, Theo Rogers, Deacon Clint Sellers, and myself, and we worked hard together to build a $10 million state-of-the-art church during an economic recession here at 9055 Tamar Drive. God was working in the background. When he brought us through difficulties, he brought us through valleys, he brought us through storms, he brought us through pain, he brought us through challenges. Is there anybody here who can testify that God was working when he saved your soul? God was working when he healed your body. God was working when he answered your prayer. God was was working when he wiped the tears from your eye. Somebody ought to give God some praise today, because while you were busy worrying about how things were going to turn out, God was working in the background, working things out, because he's a mighty awesome, he's a mighty faithful, and he's a mighty good God. Somebody ought to give God some praise today for what the Lord has done for you. And so I don't have an antidote for worry, but I do have some advice. And that is, don't worry about waiting. Here's some more advice. Here's some more advice. It is, don't get weary about the wait. While you're waiting on God, don't get weary about the wait. Because if you wait on God, it's going to be worth the wait. If you wait on God, it's going to be worth the wait. Now, have you ever waited on something or waited on somebody? And then when you waited on it, you discovered that it wasn't worth the wait. Have you ever been there? I mean, some of us have waited. We've waited on fast food. And as long as we waited, our fries still weren't hot. So some of us have been waiting on the phone to talk to somebody. And after being on hold for 20 long minutes, after you finally got somebody on the phone, you had the wrong person. Some of us have waited on a college degree, and then when you got out of college, you didn't have a job. Some of us have waited on Christmas, and then when you got up Christmas morning, what you wanted wasn't under the tree. Some of us have waited on retirement, and now that you're here, you're bored to death. Because sometimes when you wait on things, they're not worth the wait. But I've got some good news today. I've got some good news on this, our 48th church anniversary, because when you wait on the Lord, it's going to be worth the wait. It's going to be worth the wait. Now, I'm not the only one who says it. I'm not the only one who says it, because if you go back in the Bible, you'll find all kinds of evidence to back this thing up. Because Adam, he waited on Eve for his fulfillment, and it was worth the wait. Noah waited 100 years to finish the ark, and it was worth the wait. Jacob, he waited 14 years for Rachel, and it was worth the wait. Moses waited 40 years as a shepherd on the backside of Midian. And he waited for that to lead the Hebrew children out of the land of Egypt, and it was worth the wait. Israel waited 400 years to be delivered from Pharaoh, and it was worth the wait. And we waited 42 generations for Jesus Christ to be born, and it was worth the wait. Church, I'm just trying to tell somebody that when you wait on God, if you hold on to God's unchanging hand, if you keep your faith focused on him, after a while you'll discover that it's worth the wait. Now, ironically, church, it's not worth the wait because of what you think. Ironically, it's not worth the wait for what you think. Because for many of us, waiting on God is worth the wait, not because of what you're waiting for, because of what you learn and what you, God wants us to know that the real blessing is not waiting for something, but God wants us to know that the real blessing in waiting is what you learn and what you experience and what you become along the way. That's the real blessing. That's the real blessing. Now, most of us, when we read this passage, when we read Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, we think what we're waiting for is the blessing. We're thinking about what we're waiting for. But the power in this verse, the power in verse 31 is not the what that you're waiting for, but it's not even the what at the end of the journey, but it's the what along the way. Church, it's not what that you're waiting for at the end that's so powerful. It's the what that you wait for on the way to the what at the end that makes waiting so powerful. Because you see, church, you can have anything at the end. You can have a car, you can have a house, you can have a job, you can have a boo, you can have a family, you can have a mate. But what God wants us to get is not so much to focus on the what at the end, but the what along the way. And so watch, church, watch what you get. When you wait on the Lord, that makes waiting so worth it along the way. The first thing that you get when you wait on the Lord, the first thing you get when you wait on God is patience. That's the first thing you get when you wait on God. You get patience. Now, church, when you understand who your source is, when you understand what your source is, when you know who you're waiting on, that'll sure enough give you some patience. When you know who the source of your blessing is, when you know who the source of your deliverance is, when you know who the source of your provision is, that'll give you patience to wait on God. Now, some people, when you wait on them, it'll drive you crazy. Some people, when you wait on them, it'll make you pull the hair out of your head. Some people, when you wait on them, it'll give you hypertension too early. But when you wait on God, it teaches you how to have some patience, because you know who you're waiting for. And the reason that ought to prompt you to have patience in God today is because down through the years, God has demonstrated time and time again for this house of God and for people of God around the world that we serve an on-time God. Is there anybody here who can testify that we serve an on-time God? That's why the songwriter said a long time ago, you can't hurry God. You just got to wait. You got to trust in him and give him time. No matter how long it takes, he's a God, you can't hurry. He'll be there, don't you worry. He may not come when you want him, but if you wait just a little while longer, he's always right on time. Is there anybody here who can testify that when things are going wrong in your life, God knows how to step in? God knows what to step in. God knows where to step in. God knows why to step in. And God knows when to step in. Because we serve an on-time God. Somebody ought to give God some praise today for stepping into your situation right on time. And so God, when you wait on God, he'll teach you patience. But then the last thing, church, when you learn how to wait on God, you not only get patience, but the last thing you get is you get confidence. The text says, they that wait on the Lord. That lets you know that God is your source that'll help you have patience. But then it not only says they that wait on the Lord, but the text goes on to say, they that wait on the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not get weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Now, church, walking is not just a function of fitness. Everybody here can't be like that fitness phenom called Kimmy Hilson Carmichael. So walking is not just a function of fitness, but when you wait on God, it'll also be a function of your confidence. When you walk with God and when you wait on God, it'll show you that God will help you to have some reasons why you can have confidence in Him. Because when you walk with God, He'll let you know that if you've got a problem, it's no problem to God. Did you hear what I said? I said that if you have a problem, it'll be no problem to God. And the reason God will help you to know that if you have a problem, it's no problem to God is because the word problem is not in the Word of God. The word problem is not in the Bible. When you get home, here's a homework assignment. Get on your internet, go to the Google thesaurus, and look up the word problem, and you'll discover in your electronic thesaurus that the word problem does not appear in the Word of God, because God wants you to know that when you walk with Him, your problem is no problem to God. God Almighty. And one of the reasons we made it this far as a church, one of the reasons that we've been as blessed as we have been as a church, one of the reasons that God has brought us from a mighty long way as a church is because our problem is no problem to our mighty God. Is there anybody here who can testify that your problem is no problem to our God? Because when you've had problems in your life, God has opened doors that no man can close. When you've had problems in your life, God has moved mountains out of your way. When you've had problems in your life and you didn't know how you're going to make it, God stepped in and He made a way out of no way for His children. Somebody ought to give God some praise, because your problem is no problem to our mighty God. But you don't have to take my word for it, because when you look in the Word of God, the Bible says that there was a wedding at Canaan one day, and when they were at the wedding partying hard, when they were at the wedding having a mighty good time, the Bible says that they ran out of wine and they came to Jesus and they said, "We got a problem because we ran out of wine." And Jesus looked at them and said, "No problem. What do you have?" And they said, "We got some water pots." "And do you have some water?" And Jesus said, "Fill the water pot with water." And when they filled the water pot with water, they poured the water into another container. And when they poured the water into another container, Jesus said, "No problem, because I'm going to turn water into wine." Because when you got a problem, it's no problem with God, because we serve a mighty good God. Is there anybody here who can testify that no problem is a problem to our God? Because God can fix it. God can handle it. God can change it. God can turn it around. Won't it do it? Won't it do it? If you believe it, say yeah. If you know it, say yeah. If you're glad about it, then let's give God the glory, and let's give God the honor, and let's give God the praise, and say hallelujah. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Because there is no problem that is a problem to our God.